على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله، أو كما قال: وصدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. It is really impossible to do justice for what we have gathered here today. The real acknowledgement can only come from Allah and will only come from Allah Ta'ala. It is impossible for us to know every individual, how they contributed, what was in their heart, with what enthusiasm they took part, that Allah knows fully well. And we can only say some words. The real reward is only from Allah, and Allah is Ni'm al-Qadirin, the best of appreciators. We can never appreciate also, it is really Allah Ta'ala. However, just very briefly we will try. Firstly, our students who had graduated at the madrasa and then studied in Madinatul Munawwara under Sheikh Muhammad Awwama, Maulana Bana, Maulana Bilal Sabir, Mufti Masool also, Qasim, and then they approached us and they asked us that they would like to have this convention Mu'tamar here. Having in our mind, I was also invited to the convention in Turkey 2 or 3 years ago, but our nature, as we are groomed and how we our mindset is, I thought these are not, this is not our life, so I didn't even consider of going to Turkey. That this is not our way, our Kabir, our Slav's way of doing things. They came a second time also. And then Sheikh Muhyiddin, who was the organizer of this whole conference, he came himself. And then in detail he explained to me what it is and all that. Then I thought it seems to me what he explains is something that is very important. And then together with that, we knew of certain negative aspects, photography, videoing, etc. And then many speakers without beards, etc. So I explained to him our fears, that our way is completely different. And you can come, you have your mu'tamar, your conference, you will go away, and the people will be happy, but we will sit with the baby. Our people will have big objections to that. So he promised and he gave his undertaking that he will not give permission for any photography, and he was true to his word to the end. And he will try his utmost also that speakers must be those with proper beards, etc. So with that, and there was a lot of correspondence to and fro with this, we wanted complete satisfaction. Finally, we did agree that we will have it yet. And there was another aspect also which afterwards was proved to be a reality, that they were first thinking of some convention center around Binoni. And then some of our friends also felt that that is not the right place for a dini, format of this nature. It must be in a dini environment, not in that kind of an environment. So, but finally it was agreed, and with all our discussions. Then came a time when quite a bit of negativity was being floating around amongst people. That what kind of a convention and all that, that put us again one step back again. That what are we doing? Are we doing the right thing? Have we made a mistake here or what? And then I started phoning around, particularly our elders, our ulama, ahlullah, that tell us if we are wrong, what are we doing? And mashallah, some gave us very, very good advice. For example, Maulana Usman Kadwa from Zinto gave me what golden advice. He told me, Maulana, remember, these are not your students who are coming, they are not your murids who are coming. Their Islam and Reformation is not your responsibility. They are your guests who are coming. And guests must be honored. Ikram of the guests, that they must be honored. That is your responsibility. And he says, we saw this in Jalalabad with Hadraji Maulana Masih Allah Sabah. That the students and the murids were treated completely different. And guests were treated completely different. So he said, these are your guests. So with all that, then also I called our friends again, who were in the madrasa, our asatiza and them, and I explained to them, see, we have come to this stage, and we are close now to the mu'tamar, But now all this, and not only from one quarter, many quarters, emails I receive, people express their concerns, etc. of this, and I said we have to look at it seriously. So I gave them a few examples. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah has given this example, which our Shaykh rahimahullah had mentioned many times to us, that it was winter and two brothers were shivering in the cold, saw in the river a very high quality blanket flowing. So the one brother said to the other, go and get that blanket. It's winter, we are cold, we are shivering, we can keep ourselves warm with it. So he went in, and after some time, such a long time, and he didn't come back. He told him, come back now, come with the blanket. Why are you not coming back? He said, you don't want to let me come back. He said, who? I told you to bring the blanket. Why? He said, it's a bear, it's not a blanket. It was the top part of a bear, and the bear has caught me. So I said, we also maybe we have to go and catch a blanket, and the bear will catch us. And we're coming to other problems. We're thinking of some benefit, and maybe we're falling into a bigger problem. Also, I mentioned that if somebody is drowning, help, save him from drowning. But if he now catches you and he's pulling you down also, then let him go. Let him drown, but you don't drown with him. So I say here also, we must see, maybe this is some modernism and other ideas, and we get caught into it, and we get drowned also with him. So taking our steps carefully, du'as, and phoning our Ahlullah, Mufti Ibrahim Saliji, Da'amat Barakatuh of Isipingo, preach, gave me this advice. He said, phone all the Ahlullah and ask them for du'as. Their du'as have great effect, and this is for all occasions, our personal problems also, family matters also, phone the pious people, take their du'as when we have got problems. It works wonders, these du'as, we don't realize. So anyway, that also we did. Then the days of the Mu'tamar came closer now, and the people started arriving. From the from Wednesday already, some of the visitors had arrived, and Allahu Akbar. But the first visitors, really, not only me, many, many people have said, we just saw a change in Azad. And as Maulan Abdullah Gavali had explained, that we should also think, the whole big world, and Allah Ta'ala chose the continent of Africa. In the continent of Africa, South Africa. In South Africa, Gauteng. In Gauteng, small village, our name, many of us, we might not think, but what Azad Vil, Vil means village. We're just living in a small village here. But Alhamdulillah, it's a free village, Azad. So in a small little village, Allah had chosen for all such great, great ulama. It will be difficult to say everything here, but some of our brothers, I think it's Brother Imran of Shortish, he has written here how he felt like an electric shock went through him when he met one of these guests. And his throat went dry and tears were just flowing. Really, there were many people who had felt this. The Sajjadwal had changed completely during those days. With such great ulama, such great, really, wallah, pious, pious people. We usually think, I'm only pious, nobody else is pious. We got it wrong completely. There are people, and amongst these, as in passing, the students who are making their khidmat, they have testified how many of them were paban, regular with their nawafil. Ishraq namaz, chash namaz, tahajjud, awwabin. We are weak in all these things. And the akhlaq, the simplicity, and down to earth humility. Allahu Akbar, we are out of breath. We haven't got words to express what kind of people. So they changed the whole environment. So from that Wednesday already. And then when as Maulana explained, on Thursday night they went to the Merkaz. And in fact, when one of the students made the announcement, Arab student, that all the guests must gather by the buses. So I got a shock and I felt a bit bad. There are such great people, buses, and they must be transported by limousines. They must be transported by good cars, not by buses. But really, this is how they were. Very simple. And they themselves said, we had many of them, we attended many conventions, etc. We got 5-star treatment in the hotels, etc. But they say that was overshadowed by the simplicity of the whole thing here. And by the Darul Uloom, and by the students, their khidmat. They say these are like farishtas, these are like angels. We have gone out of this world where we have come here. So anyway, they went there to the Markaz and the program was alhamdulillah well organized, well received, and the effects also. Even if Maulana Muhammad Saliji, Gora Saliji of Durban, he told me if there was no other benefit, only this benefit, it was also more than overwhelming. When they were returning, one of the muftis, and these muftis in the free states of Russia now, after the Soviet Union, those who gained their independence, the mufti is a government person and who is in charge of all religious affairs of the country, of all these countries, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, etc. A mufti, he's got a position in the cabinet and he's in charge of all religious affairs. And he explained that after they gained their independence, then the Salafis were the first people to pour into those states. And with the hard weight that they had, they got a hard, strict weight, and the method also of implementing that hard, strict weight is also very hard and strict, which upset the whole system there. Those people were all people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who liked their zikr, who liked their wazifas, etc. And they went and they suddenly just put a stop to all this. Because of that, he says, we took a decision. No religious group, anyone for religious purpose, not allowed to come to our country. In which was Tabligh Jamaat also. They banned them also totally. Not allowed to come. Because they are coming with different ideas here. And what our deen in Islam, and there's a different subject, we can't discuss it now, that how after 70 years of communist, terrible, suppressive laws, how Islam still remained alive. Just in short, one alim, I just read Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahab, Abu Ustad, he sent me this article that of Lucknow. He said he was very, very confused for very many years. He couldn't get an answer that how come that in the Soviet Union, when they got their independence, again, they all practicing upon Islam. The 70 years was such that if they will ask the children of the house, does your father keep roza? Does he make namaz? If it's yes, they send death penalty for that person. If you got a Quran Sharif in your house, if the answer is yes, death penalty for that person. Such suppressive laws, 70 years, how many generations? But the minute they got a chance, Islam just started blooming again. The fireball of Iman in Islam just came again alive. On the other hand, in Spain, this did not happen. In Spain, there also Muslims ruled for about 700 years. And then when the Christians came, and now till today, when I, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me the opportunity to go in Masjid al-Qurtuba, the time we went, we were allowed to enter with topis. Before that, you can't enter with a topi. Okay? But when we went, no namaz is allowed. I tried one place, but with the cameras, I think I was in my second rakat and the guards were there. And they just made like you don't know, but they made sure they stop you. So imagine how they stop Islam there. Why the difference? Why didn't Islam become alive again in Spain? Yeah, in the Russian states, Islam became alive. In Spain, it didn't become alive again. Now there's sort of freedom of religion, but still it didn't. He says, he realized the thing is our madaris and our darul ulums, our makatib. These are the things. He says that Darul Ulum Deoband, Lucknow, in Bangladesh, 15,000 students in a Darul Ulum. This is nothing compared to the Darul Ulums that were in these places. Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. The Darul Ulums, as our ulama always say, are the forts of deen, where deen is preserved. He said there were all these Darul Ulums and ilm was there. In Spain also there was, but to a very minor extent. Comparatively, almost like zero again. Therefore, Islam did not become alive in Spain. So from that, realize the importance of our makatib, importance of our Darul Ulums, how important these are, extremely. When I was lecturing at Rand Afrikaans University, may Allah forgive me for having gone there, that's also another long story. But anyway, Professor Nadir, who was there at that time, one day, and you can make out when something by mistake comes out of the tongue. He told me, remember, that as long as your makatib are alive, you will remain in this country as a Muslim community. The day your makatibs get finished, then you will remain as an affluent community, rich community. You will remain as a business community. You will remain as a professional community.
You will remain as an industrial community, but you won't remain alive as a Muslim community. And it is their effort to close our Makati by various sources, and they use our people. And in front of our people, we're doing deeds, work in this way, that way. But on the side, they are closing our Makati. And the Makati is our backbone. So important. So anyway, so this Mufti Saab, when they're on the way back from the Markaz, he said that I had a wrong, complete wrong impression of Tabligh Jamaat. When I'm going back, my first work is open the doors for Tabligh. From now, our country is open for all Tabligh work. Maulana Ghora Sariji said there was no other benefit. What a great benefit. We know the work of Jamaat, mashallah, all of people coming closer to Deen, coming back to Deen, and this will carry on. And in those places where they are 100% Muslims, but they've got their customs, they've got their other way. So this is one great benefit. So that was on Thursday night. Friday, I was very, very surprised when my son, Qari Abdullah, told me, you have to make bayan. We took it for granted, all guests are coming, they're going to make all the bayans, etc. So I told him, how? He said, Sheikh Muhyiddin, who was the organizer, he said that he loves our tartib of Jummah, how we do it. And before that, just imagine, were that Sheikh Muhyiddin, his father, Sheikh Awwama, Muhammad Awwama, these are Arabs. And where do they live? Medina Sharif. In Saudi Arabia. And they are honoring our ulama. We don't realize the honor of our ulama. The ulama of Jummah. Especially from Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. Then Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanutwi Rahmatullah Ali. Qasim ul Ulum wal Khairat. How many of us haven't heard his name? We who claim that we studied in Deoband and we write behind our Qasmi, our name Qasmi, and we are so happy about it. How much do we know about Maulana Qasim Nanutwi? But these people, Arab people, and we, Hindi, Chindi, in their eyes, we are nothing. Well, these Hindi, Chindi people, what they know, what they know about me? We got no value in their eyes. But just imagine they want to know and show the world and showcase Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Ulama-e Deoband, Allah. What a great thing, which we, especially for myself, who I studied in Darul Ulum Deoband, and all of us, I'm the school of thought of Darul Ulum Deoband, it was our farz to let the people of the world know what does Deoband stand for, who are the ulama. But all the negative things that are going around in the world, we are today shy to say I'm a Deobandi. We say that, no, I'm a Muslim. We are shy to say I'm a Deobandi. We are shy to say I'm a Sufi. We are frightened many times to say I'm a Tablighi. We are frightened. Whereas this should not, this Mu'tamar, this convention brought that strength into us, that we should be proud in the sense of making shukr to Allah that I'm a Deobandi. I'm a Tablighi. I'm a Sufi. So this was one very, very great thing which gave us that strength which along the way we lost. That we thought we were like, we're now Salafis, they are the ones who are ruling on top. Shias are coming everywhere. And while passing there, remember also that when a mosquito wants to attack you, we know he comes zooming, zooming, zooming. And before he can do his work, you take out your zoom, you spray. Or you catch him, you take your swatter, or you take your hands, you kill him. He couldn't do his work, he makes a big noise. A bed bug, katmal. What in Gujarati?
Makar. Machar.
Your bed bug comes, quietly does its work. And it retreats also quietly. When it's gone safely into its camp again, then you start feeling the scratch, etc. So just like that, the people of Batil and Foxwood, they make a big noise. Full in the media, radio, television. We also, Shias are everywhere. Kalyanis are everywhere. Salafis are, it's just the one big noise. And the people of Haq work like a bed bug, quietly. Hey, look at the Darul Ulums. You know where in the news you will get it. Nowhere in the newspaper and media and radio and that, our makatibs, nowhere you'll get all. The Tabligh Jamaat, one ijtima, 40,000 people. In South Africa, where can we get such amount? Nowhere else can you get such 40,000, 60,000 people, 20,000 people. Jamaats moving throughout the country all the time. Small, small villages, big, big towns, jamaats are moving. No news anywhere. No peak on the radio, in the media. But they were doing quietly their work. So this is how it is. On the ground, the reality is the Sawad-e-Aza. The big cloud and the big group of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. They are the ones who are controlling. But we get frightened because of the zooming these people make around us. And we think they are everywhere. So he told that Yopal's 13, how you people do your Jummah. I like that very. That's why I want you to make the Jummah Maya. And I want this ulama. I was very, very sort of frightened in spite of talking so, but such big ulama, Arab ulama, ulama from around the world, and I had to speak, but it wasn't easy at all. To choose the topic was also very, very hard. So in front now, what topic to speak? Then Allah give us topic, we turn to Allah, and may Allah guide us always, inshallah. So anyway, I gave the talk, and Maulana Ayub Jina did a wonderful, what a translation is this also. On the spot, this was another big eye-opener for me. I taught our students also the Arabic, it's like my Arabic. And there's a Rome, Tikana, all wrong, upside down, etc. But I was shocked at the Arabic of our students when they got exposed. How they spoke Arabic, Allahu Akbar. And also Arab lehja, the tone also, and also the words and the speech. I became very happy and I made shukr to Allah Ta'ala. That our youngsters, our ulama, they are not just like that. We are like all finished, weathered away and nothing we have left in us. But what, how wonderful the Arabic also is. And that was so impressive on them. And this all started with Sheikh Abdul Fattah. With him. He was a alim, also Syrian alim. Very great muhaddith. Muhaddith of the time. And of Saudi Arabia and of the world, he was a muhaddith. And he was extremely impressed by our ulama of the subcontinent, India, Pakistan. And he went many times also. And he spoke to us, he also visited us on an occasion. And he told us what the great ulama. So that rubbed off onto his student, Sheikh Muhammad Awwama. He also became very impressed. And once, in fact, when I was in Dioban, I was visiting, and Sheikh Awwama was also invited. He was also a guest the same day. And at the guest house of Darul Uloom Dioban, when they put us up there, and they told me, waiting for Sheikh Awwama, then we'll all have meals together. And one point I would like to mention here, which he didn't want me to mention, in fact, he took it out of my bayan. And that was that when we were sitting and waiting, there was an alim of a Dioban graduate who is a journalist in Delhi. And as a journalist, he's got a lot of contact with all types of people. So he says he was the guest of Sheikh Abdullah ibn Subaydin, the old Imam of Makkah Sharif. But because he's also Salafi inclined, that's why Sheikh Muhyiddin didn't want me to take his name. He said he's Arab. I was shocked when he came in. He said the Arab ulama will be very, very irritated and will be very cross if you take his name. So much they are against Salafis. According to us, again I'm diverting so much, I hope I come on the main road again. According to us, generally, Arabs equal Salafis. All Arabs, that was my impression also. Iranis, all are Shias, which is totally wrong. Arabs, the vast majority of them are ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and there are a lot of Hanafis in Saudi Arabia. Like Sheikh Awwama himself, the greatest muhaddith, his son, Sheikh, all his family. And then, Allahu Akbar, at the Darul Uloom, ulama, I think about 8 or 10 at least, what I know, of Saudi Arabia, a place called Ahsa. That ulama were here, and how friendly, what akhlaq they had, etc. And they had an objection on us. Listen to this carefully. Saudi Arabia ulama had an objection on us, the ulama of Dioban, that you people don't believe in tasawwuf. I thought the tables were the other way around. That we have an objection on them, they don't believe in tasawwuf. They had an objection on us that we don't believe. When they came and saw, they say, now we know that, mashallah. And to call yourself a Sufi in Saudi Arabia is a word of honor. Some Palestinian student who completed their hifz recently, and in 5 months or so, 5 months, two students completed their hifz from Palestine. So I asked them that your father, what? So he said proudly, we are Sufis. And today we are shy to say I'm a Sufi. Whereas they are proud and they know that it is the right thing. So anyway, so Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abul Ghurda, he also knew our ulama and that rubbed off onto his student Sheikh Awwama. And then came to Sheikh Mohinuddin. Yeah, so we were there in Jowen, and then this alim said that Sheikh Abdullah ibn Subayr had invited him to meet. When they were sitting, and two ulama of Riyadh also came. And this one good quality, which is a sunnah practice also, which is very much alive in the Arabs, alhamdulillah, to introduce one another, ta'al. So they started, I'm so and so, you so and so, all that. When he said he's from India, those two alims from Riyadh, they went up in a flame. They said, you people are all mushriks, and you visit the qabr, you make you are qabr pujaris, and you make such stuff with the qabrs, and you so much bid'at, and all your wrong things. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Subayr asked them, you ever went to India? He said, no. He said, I've gone many times. And I know these people. They are perfect muwahids. Tawheed is 100% and they are true followers of Sunnah and they are true ashiks of Sunnah and of the deen of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is that how these people, our ulama, this is the value they have got. And also Shaykh Abdullah ibn Subayl in that meeting said, he said 2/3 of the ummah are Hanafis. And he says, you Salafis, you want to declare the Hanafis as kafirs, as mushriks, then there is no ummah left after them. Ooh, and he said also another very important thing. Two-thirds of the deeni khidmat of the Muslims of the world, this is the words of Shaykh Abdullah ibn Subayr, is being done by ulama in Jowen. Wherever, in fact, in South America, personally, we had the opportunity, Venezuela and Chile, all these places. In Venezuela, the Arabs who are there, they say very clearly, we don't want Arab ulama to come here. Say, Arab ulama come, they only make 5 times namaz and they want big money all the time. He said the ulama of South Africa specifically, we only want ulama of South Africa. They do deen's khidmat from morning to night. Tabligh khidmat, teaching in the madrasa, the maktab, everything, darul ulum. And they do imamat also, and they do imamat free of charge. And then very surprising, at the end of that trip of mine, this whole South America, they had also a convention. And all like modernist more people, not modernist people. And in that convention, the modernists also declared, we only want ulama of South Africa to come here. We don't want Arab ulama. What a position Allah has given to the ulama of South Africa. But we haven't realized what a dollar and what treasure Allah Ta'ala has given. And only Allah knows whose sincerity, whose dua, that of the whole world Allah chose Azad, and the whole of Azad, not the Darul Uloom alone. The whole Azad world was fully in this convention, that Allah chose our little village for this great thing. So anyway, the Jummah Bayan, and then many people came to me and they wanted their talk to be translated in their languages, etc. After that, the convention carried on, and a few various aspects, like Maulana explained, Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki, Ahmed Barakatum, how he explained the Sawwab, and they were very, very impressed with all this. And we were thinking that they don't know what is the Sawwab, but they had full idea, and they cherish it. Also, just to give you an idea, that many years ago, when the Dharam just had started, and there was one brother, Abdul Hakim K. Dost, his sons came and studied at the Darul Uloom. And I remember his name just now. So they were small, about 11, 12 years. So he had two wives. The wives came, he came, the whole family came. They stayed by Qadisab's place, Marhum. And then he came in the office and then we were talking. So while talking, he told me that the sons of mine make them bayat. So I thought he's being sarcastic because Arabs and bayat and tasawwuf, water and oil don't mix. Where is he talking? So I just ignored him. After some time again he told me. Then again I thought. Then after some time he told, make me bayat. Then I asked him, you an Arab? You live in Jeddah at that time, now he's living in Medina Sharif. And you talking of bayat and tasawwuf?
that this doesn't, it's taboo for you people even to say bayat tasawwuf itself.
So he says, no, not at all. We also believe in tasawwuf fully.
And he said, my father-in-law is of the Naqshbandi silsila.
And every Thursday night in Jeddah, we have a majlis also, but done very discreetly, very secretly. That's why people don't know. So all these things are alive. This was a time that we became aware of the whole ummah. So anyway, so amongst the objectives, and alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, only by Allah's fazl, all the fears we had, none of them materialized. But alhamdulillah, great positive aspects came and we saw. That for one, the, what was this? To introduce them, and what was our duty, we should go and beg them, please listen to us. Who Maulana Qasim Nanwat is, who Maulana Rashid Ahmed Ghangohi is, who Maulana Mahmoodul Hassan is, they coming to ask us, who are these people? Such an opportunity thrown in our lap. Like mashallah, Abu Bay told me very nicely, he said, we hit the jackpot. Really, that these people from around the world, they came here. Ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are so strong and alive. In fact, my son Qari Abdullah, he was making imamat. So as today it is common with us, and there is a great thing which we ulama must also correct ourselves. We say, i'tadilu, istawu, correct, make yourself straight, etc. One of those alims, I think it was the Mufti of Baghdad, Iraq, he told him, this is not according to Hanafis. That's why we found in our ulama, they don't say this. That before Jummah, you'll find it in the hadith. Today we, without realizing, we also becoming Ahl al-Hadith. We must follow fiqh. The fiqh is hadith. But we must follow it through fiqh, and the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. But we also, all what we see in a hadith, we don't check it whether it is in our fiqh or not. So how strong Hanafis they are. So anyway, so one was this, that we had this opportunity that the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and in them mainly the ulama, Hanafi ulama from around the world, had come to one place. During the days of the conference, suddenly it just came in my heart, and I mentioned it in my little talk also I gave, and I told Sheikh Muhyiddin that I think on the surface of the earth there isn't somebody like Sheikh Muhyiddin. In this regard, that the deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi," that is Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Nobody had that concern to bring the ulama together in one group. I say, which we didn't dream about, which we couldn't dream. He made it a reality, and we saw it here. And from around the world, from America to Europe, to the Middle East, to the Far East, from the Northern Hemisphere, from the Southern Hemisphere, great, great ulama like this had come, and what uloom they have got, and what ma'arif they have got, and many, all of them not, but many of them, how pious, and the humility and the simplicity was very, very great in them in all things. So Allah gave us this. The other thing is, it was an occasion, and alhamdulillah, may Allah reward our friends fully, that all our systems were also present, and they were impressed. With the Darul Uloom, one particular chef, he said that I attend a lot of conferences. We stay in hotels. He said, I don't get 1 minute of sleep. As I came in the Darul Uloom, I felt sukoon. And this was the word, not only many of our local municipality people also, even in the days of past of the apartheid time, now also, they come, and the minute they come to the Darul Uloom, they say, we're finding peace and contentment here. There's only Allah Ta'ala's. They also, that particular sheikh, he says, yeah, I just came and I fell asleep. Otherwise, I don't sleep in the house. They also say, 5-star hotels, what treatment we get? But yeah, the love that was shown by the student, that Mufti of Iraq, he fell ill. The doctor, his nose was bleeding quite a bit. He had to be hospitalized. Allah reward Dr. Kaka and the other friend. They took care of everything, the bill, everything. But anyway, they gave him good treatment. Maulana Isma Suleiman of Lands, he put his students on their khidmat. He was so impressed when he was speaking on the phone to his family, now he's in Jordan. He said that it looks like living amongst the Sahaba. And if I have to die, I wish I can die here amongst the Sahaba. So impressed. They're coming from Muslim countries. And in our country, not a Muslim country. By who are we ruled? But alhamdulillah. And that also, Mr. Masroor Qasim, said one thing, that was the two alims of Saudi, they asked him, they just met him in the boarding, and they asked him that, why are you so strict on this photography business, that you just don't allow it and that. According to us, it's jais, they say. But why you people are so strict? He said, there's not a time to go into the details, but just say one thing, I'll tell you, the ulama of Dioban, whose stance is this simplicity and doing things according to sunnah, etc., where they have reached that you people are coming to acknowledge the ulama of Dioban. And you people who want to use photography, want to use TV, want to use video to promote deen, to propagate deen, you can see for yourself, you didn't reach anywhere. And yet, you yourself are coming to learn about the ulama of Dioban. So always remember, in case I forget, ulama of Dioban is our makatib. Ulama of Dioban is our darul ulum. It is tasawwuf. And what does tasawwuf mean? To practice what you know. That is all what tasawwuf is. The tasawwuf is not some karamats and flying in the air and walking on the water and all those things and getting kashf. The tasawwuf is simple, that what you know, you practice upon that. That is what the effort of the tasawwuf. And in that, all the efforts which are taking place and where it has taken the ulama of Dioban in the world, the khidmat, which Abdullah ibn Subayyil acknowledges, which all the ulama acknowledge. So another thing was our makatib. When Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahmatullah alayh came to South Africa in about 1962-1963, and Qari Sahib was a widely traveled person even at that time, and our makatib system at that time was also all upside down. But he says, in the whole world, I haven't seen such makatib system as I've seen in the Transvaal, in the old Transvaal of those days. And today, mashallah, our makatib. Then, not only that, for the indigenous people, Allah reward the people, and many, almost everywhere, yeah, on Abdullah Dabiliya, mashallah, and everywhere, all around, how many madrasas around here? Eight madrasas around here, and the whole country, amongst the indigenous people, the work is carried on to a great extent. Then another great thing which Allah has blessed us, at which they were impressed, and hopefully they will also do this, that we are not only looking after our makatib. We're not only among for the indigenous people, but how many South African different groups are working in different parts of the world. Whether it is India, whether it is Tanzania, whether it is Burundi, whether it is throughout the world, they are working and their jamaats are working, and Darul Makatibs, they are running in various places. Then it was also, Allah reward our satis, Mufti Masood, who was in charge, and to prepare kitabs in Arabic about our akabir, Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, Maulana Qasim, and what wonderful, I was surprised when I saw those kitabs. The print also so wonderful, and how beautifully it was prepared and distributed amongst them. Then the social welfare work of South Africa. Wherever you hear, then Darul Ihsan is there. Wherever you hear, Alimdad is there. Wherever you hear, Dr.
Gift of the givers.
Gift of the givers. All this, everywhere. Social welfare work. And different levels. They were surprised. In fact, the Sheikh of Lebanon, in fact, I think he gave bayan at the end. He says, what we couldn't dream, they're living in Muslim countries. They are big ulama. What we couldn't dream of dini khidmat. You people in a non-Muslim country, and you are a minority of a minority. And you are doing all this, it puts us to shame. And we are going to go and start with all this. What great, great benefits. Another very important great benefit. There was a great alim of Azhar, of Cairo, the famous Islamic University Azhar. And his associated, and a student who wrote his thesis. And the subject of his thesis was the takfir, the disbelief of the ulama of Dioban, that the ulama of Dioban are kafirs. That was his subject of his thesis. And this alim passed him and gave him good marks. You wrote a very good thesis. And he said, if I knew that this convention has to do with ulama of Dioban, I should never have come here. He said, Allah shukr, I didn't know. Now that I've come and I've seen who ulama of Dioban, now I hear. Imagine that those people who thought that we are kafirs, today their eyes have opened by this one convention. So
success. What a great success. Resounding success in every way. Allah Ta'ala blessed us. Though we were hesitant, we were afraid also, but Allah Ta'ala in His kindness has blessed the little town, the little village of Azadba with all these great ni'mats. Besides that, there were many other positive aspects also of this. Among them, very few that I will just mention here. There are so many, it will be difficult to say all of it. And one of them, they say, this convention, we went to many, but this was very simple. And it was no fancy things, and it was down to earth. And I wish I can be in environments like this, not seeing women, no fitna. They were surprised. And also the transport from the Darnum to the school, and Allah reward Mr. Ismail and his friend and them also, that the school they made available, all the facilities, they were being transported by bus all the time. How down to earth, how simple they were. And one of the ulama of Ahsa, one of them came repeatedly to me. He said, please, I must get your syllabus. I've asked for it. You told that student, I haven't still got it. He said, we want to start Darul Ulooms like this. Many other ulama from Europe countries, they say, this way that you have and the system that you have in your syllabus, we want to start. You can see this is what brings results. They say that we feel that we were sleeping all this time. You people woke us up to see what the actual ummah needs and what the ulama have to be doing. People here walk and talk by following sunnah, contrary to even ulama of our country. They say, sunnah, I see, is alive in you people. Everywhere, in every aspect. They said, if it wasn't because of our work and responsibility back home, we wouldn't leave. So much they like the impression, like when a person goes to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, he doesn't want to leave. But we have got responsibilities, we have to come. Make shukr to Allah. He make it easy to make amal on deen. Even some Arab countries don't have these privileges. Yeah, our azan is free. Qurbani, go to many countries, they're not allowed to make Qurbani. They can't give their azan. Allah Ta'ala makes shukr. And this is, if we will try in our heart it is to practice deen, Allah will make it turn the heart of our rulers also. And they will make it easy. But if we don't want to practice, Allah will make such laws to be enacted. And then they will become difficult to practice upon deen. About the students, most ulama, even by outside appearance, look simple and normal. But their inside halat are totally different. Some students found the ulama on musallas, even after the whole day's programs. These ulama had lots of sabr, lots of adab for hadith. Shaykh Abdul Malik Saidi was punctual and nawafil throughout the day. He was very independent. Akhlaq was remarkable, which prompted students to make even more khidmat of his vigilantly. They gave us the talaba, Lord Duas. And the ulama were extremely happy with all the work that was done. Then some acknowledgements, we will never be able to cover the list, but just a few, that Ismail Nana and the neighborhood watch team, mashallah, Farooq Desai, Suleiman Jina, Maulana Muhammad, Ibrahim Sindhi, Qasim Peer, Ibrahim Bakas, Fashion World of Dokrats, Houghton Brothers, Devlin Cash and Kerry, Vabro, Hafiz Bilal and Riaz Baracha, Harun Takolia, Nazir Budania, Ayub Chacha and family, Dr. Sali of Lonium, Dr. Kaka, Dr. Farooq Kaka, Muhammad Kaka, and the whole Jalsa committee, the cooks of Azadwa, Khadimatuddin, the woman folk, Dr. Ismail and Adil Mangli, Mr. Aslam Khan, and all brothers we may have, intentionally, unintentionally forgotten, all of them. Our Department of Home Affairs, Allah reward Haji Abu Bakr, Abu Bai, mashallah, he worked with them. And so tirelessly, phoning them at odd hours when they are not office hours, and they facilitated so many of the visas, etc. Everyone, and the transport of the ulama from the airport here back again, it wasn't a simple thing. And the first time, it wasn't easy that we knew how to go about the things. It was a new thing. It was only Allah's help. And Allah made it possible. And everyone only had words of praise for the Darul Uloom, for the students, the ustads, for the town of Azadwal, for everyone. Our ladies, the food that they had cooked, this brother of Sheikh Mohiuddin, Iman, I think his name. or his one brother, he said that I don't know this brother of mine, Muhyiddin, why he brought Syrian cooks to cook for the guests. He said, after we tasted your food, we didn't even touch the Syrian food. He said, your food was so tasty. Allah reward our woman folk and out of the way, as always. It can be ijtima, it can be jalsa, it can be islahi jalsa. Our woman folk, our men, and the whole, our small, small children didn't want to come home. They were just too happy to wear that little, what you call that, that thing of theirs, that shining yellow thing, and that we also make it khidmat, we also part of it. Everyone was so happy. May Allah accept, may Allah reward everyone. There are many people's names that we cannot mention that we have missed out, but Allah Ta'ala reward. And then, of course, there were some negative aspects which we acknowledge. We don't agree with photography, with videoing. We made full efforts. Notices were displayed there also. And we had our cadets, Ismail Nana, etc., who went up to the people, no photographer, and in a very nice, dear, polite way, not allowed, etc. And many of them, Allahu Akbar, Sheikh Awwama, great, great Ali, in one of the, when they were having tea, ikhtilat, mixing with the people, somebody wanted to take his photo, he became very angry. He is also fully of the opinion, photography is not jais, is not allowed at all. And he told, don't you respect all the notices which are put here? How can you take photography? He did not allow it. So many, so we tried, but it's not in our control. How much we could do, we did. And also about the peers, we tried also, but it's not also in our control. But the overall benefit far overshadows this harm that was there also, the negative. The positive aspect by far overshadowed the great benefit that people who thought ulama of Deoband to be kafirs, now they know that no, these are strong, proper Muslims. People who thought ulama of Deoband don't know and don't accept the sawwuf. They understood. Where the doors of tabligh were closed, now the doors of tabligh are open there. So how great benefits. And besides that, many others also. So may Allah Ta'ala, and this is not the first time. From many times I say that sometimes I just think stuff that we must have some program in the Darul Ulum. Without exaggeration. Next, Salibay Kaka, Allah give him jazaa khair. He said, Malana, jalsa taking place, khidmat we're going to do. Now he's gone old, he can't do. How they come to know, I don't know. How they read the mind. And they are ready. And this is the whole of Azad, Ramzan Sharif. Here we have Atikab Jami Masjid. The Darul Ulum we have, and the food, all the ladies, the people of Azadwar, they are ready all the time. And remember one very important thing, my ustad, Qari Abdullah Saleem, he was my ustad of Tajweed and Qiraat in Deoband, now he's in Chicago, and he's running a very successful Darul Ulum. Here also we met in Medina Sharif, we met again. Then when we met there, he told me one thing which is very important. He told me my nephew, he's a Hafiz al-Quran. Like that, he's an engineer by profession, and he's in Medina Sharif. But he's extremely hospitable. He goes out of his way looking for ulama who he knows to host them, to make their khidmah, to help them, etc. He says, this is a quality. If you want to stay in Medina, you must have the quality of hospitality. Everyone who goes to Medina Sharif is the guest of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the guest, the host, must host his guest. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not going to come out of his qabr to host us. So the people of Medina, that is why we say Medina Sharif in the whole world, there isn't another city where the people are so hospitable as the people of Medina Sharif. And anyone will give evidence for this. The dastarkhan, iftari time, etc. What is not put down and how they go out of their way. So that is it. So Allah has blessed the people of Azad with this hospitality. I would like to also at this time take the advantage of make one niyat whenever we come to masjid. This was previously in our old people. And in fact, my grandfather, marhum, was in Woodbend. That when the train in those days, people from India used to come from Delgowabe, and they should call Dalgubbe, from Delgowabe. And when Woodbend station, it should come twice a week or something. He should take a pot of food to the train and look for if there are any people. And somebody from our camps have come, can we give them some food, feed them, etc. So before, this was a very strong thing. When people should come to the masjid, see if there's some outsider. And if there is, they tell at home, keep food ready. And if there are some visitors, we'll come with them. Today we have come, we see somebody from outside, we look the other side.
Okay, just now, we will have to take them home. And we will have to go and feed them. Hospitality was a great mark of all the Anbiya alayhi salam, of all the Sahaba and all the Awliya. This is a very important aspect. Allah has blessed the people of Azad. MashaAllah, they go out of their way. Add this also. Whenever we come, masjid, make a niyyah and tell them at home, just keep food ready and keep a pot for 2-4 people. In case I see somebody, I will call them. And in a very simple way, just feed them. And you don't know what their duas and where their duas will take. Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, he says, we want this work of tabligh to reach that level that there must be no more hotels in the world, that all Muslims are prepared to host the people. They go specially to airports in our times, those days railway station, bus stand, anyone they say, come home, we will host you, we will look after you. That was the quality of the Muslims. And that hospitality will take Islam and will take deen very far. Hey, and remember, if you can feed a hungry person, you, once myself, I had to go for some work to Pretoria when I just completed my studies, I came. Maulana Hazarvi, many of us might know him, old alim. He was in the Queen Street Masjid. He saw me, somebody different, new person, for Zohar day in the Masjid. He told me, come home. And he just put newspaper down, and he didn't bring a platter, and then just the plate with the food he put, and I was hungry. But that food, how you appreciate it. You can feed a hungry animal, that animal's duas go out for you. If you feed a Muslim, and also don't only keep hospitality to Muslims, even the Sprach course people, when security things must keep in mind, but also try and feed them also, whoever we can. And in fact, Allah gave us tawfiq, Al-Fisab, Dar, you know, around the places, many places, bread we distribute, etc. And all of them appreciate it very, very greatly. So try and always be very hospitable. Try and make it a trademark. Let it be known, not for the sake of show, that Azad will you go, the people don't leave you. They take you home. And they make sure they feed you before they let you go. Let this thing become alive. So Allah has blessed us. We are very fortunate. Really, we did not ask for this. We did not make dua for it. We didn't know about it. Allah put it in our lap. And really, what was right, what Abu Bay said, Allah gave us a jackpot. The ulama of the world, the sunnah wal jama'ah ulama, together on one plate. And as Maulana Abdullah explained also, not only that, local, the unity was amongst the ulama, etc. All were gathered there. Where this is really a historical event which Allah, out of His kindness, had given to the people of Azad. Kuch aur?
What about the president of Malaysia?
Just imagine, the president of Malaysia on a Dini convention, he was also here, and his talk was also very enlightening, very impressive, alhamdulillah. Where can Azad, the president of a country, coming to our place here, and we having the opportunity to host them, and in the name of Deen and Islam? This wasn't some political meeting or something. Just imagine what Allah has blessed us. Mufti Masood, good job. Somebody else, what I... Most of the things are forgotten. These are just a few things that I remember.
ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. أتوب علينا.